This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What it costs to operate during a trade war. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. A new study this morning finds that the trade war is affecting more than just U.S. and Chinese companies. The U.S. is trying to get China to fix what many see as unfair trade practices, but the costs of the hardline policy is hitting bottom lines far and wide. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak joins us now from Shanghai. Hi there.
Hi, David.
All right, so you have this report from the American Chamber of Commerce in southern China. What did it find?
Well, a third of the firms surveyed estimates that the trade dispute has cost them between $1 and $50 million. That's the same whether the companies are from China, whether they're based from the U.S. or other parts of Asia and Europe.
Yeah, but I was looking at this thing. It surveyed 219 companies, both large and small, from all sectors, but that's not a giant sample size.
No, but the trends they found in the report is in line with what we've been hearing on the ground here. U.S. companies are facing more competition. The report says it's coming from Vietnam, Germany, and Japan, both in imports and exports. Chinese companies are competing more with Vietnam, India, and Korea. Almost 2 out of 5 companies they surveyed said that they've seen increased non-tariff barriers like bureaucratic oversight and slower customs clearance. But of course, the real concern is about long-term consequences.
Long-term, like what?
Well, like investment. 70% of U.S. firms operating in southern China in the survey say they may delay further investment. A lot of companies are also talking about moving at least some of their manufacturing to other countries. Now, is it to the U.S., like the Trump administration wants? No. Only 1% of those surveyed plan to relocate manufacturing to North America.
Only 1% of those surveyed doing business in China plan to relocate manufacturing to North America. Marketplace's Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
It is the final week before the midterm elections. Candidates are sitting on a mountain of money. And as Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports, that money is pointed right at you.
Around this point in the 2014 campaign, the average challenger for a House seat had about $60,000 to spend. That challenger now has more than $200,000. On the Senate side, what was $750,000 is now $1.5 million. Those numbers are from the Center for Responsive Politics. Executive Director Sheila Krumholz says, prepare yourself.
This is going to be just a huge onslaught of political messaging coming the way of the voters.
On television, online, in print, texts, phone calls, and spending will go beyond just messaging, says Stephen Spaulding with Common Cause.
They'll continue, I think, to be recruiting canvassers in the final days to get as many people out as possible on behalf of their candidacies.
Plus, there's got to be something left in the campaign war chest in case of a recount and for the victory party, right? In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Checking markets, the S&P future is up 0.7%. The NASDAQ future is up 1% at the moment. London is up 1.4%. The dollar down at 114 euro, but up against China's renminbi. The 107-year-old hardware and software company IBM is known for in-house innovations, but not really for buying up rivals. Yet, there's news of IBM's biggest acquisition ever, $33 billion for Red Hat, which is a big player in cloud computing systems that rent out the power of big clusters of faraway computers. IBM is coming off a weak quarter after showing signs of a turnaround earlier this year. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter by October 31st, and you could be in for a Halloween treat. We're giving away 10 Marketplace treat bags filled with some great swag, including the coffee mug that I helped design. I thought it was a great line. They listened to me. Subscribe today at marketplace.org for your chance to win, and good luck. What is your job translated into medieval times? Surgeons, you were barbers. Maybe I, the radio guy, was a town crier, perhaps. In Britain, they're reviving the post of town crier to bring people back into beleaguered shopping districts hit hard by online competition. The latest to do so is Salisbury, England, where retailers are facing an additional problem. Remember that nerve agent attack earlier this year that killed a person and critically hurt two? It's been hurting the local economy, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The poisonings have taken their toll on tourism in this beautiful cathedral city. Many shops have suffered, including Sophie McDonald's clothing store.
We've lost quite a lot of money through the whole Novichok situation.
Fewer tourists coming in?
Definitely. Our sales have dropped a lot since this happened, probably a bit more than half.
But the city is fighting back, and its weapon of choice, tradition.
Oh, yay! Oh, yay! Oh, yay!
This is the latest British city to revive the stentorian post of town crier.
Good citizens of Salisbury, as your elected town crier...
Wearing knee breeches and buckled shoes, the crier, working part-time, will bring colour to the streets and boost the battered confidence in the city, says Councillor Joe Broom.
Part of his role will be to shout out all the good things and all the reasons that people need to come and see us and support us.
A lively procession with loud music and magnificent costumes will weave its way.
The crier will also announce individual store promotions, the aim to drum up business for the city.
Have fun, ladies and gentlemen. Dig deep within your pockets.
But, says the new crier, Jeff Hutchby, the basic message is that Salisbury is safe.
At the moment, if people think of Salisbury, they think of the attacks. But there is no reason to fear coming here.
And he should know. He's a police officer by profession. Salisbury's taking no chances. But not everyone thinks Jeff's loud enough for the new job. Here's John, who runs a flower stall in Salisbury Market.
Come on, any four bunches there for fiver. Look, over £13 worth of flowers for fiver. I've got a louder voice than the town crier. Come on, you miserable lot. Look, there are one from each section there for a fiver.
If decibels can do the trick, Salisbury retailers should flourish again. In Salisbury, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Not to Hamlet it up, but I had as lief the town crier spoke my lines. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.